Let's begin by opening our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible is something we are all familiar with, I hope. Usually made out of paper and ink and leather and cardboard and all kinds of things, but we need to also remember from time to time that we're holding in our hands and listening to and studying the Word of God in human language, but His heart, His thoughts, His inspiration is here. Chapter 4 of Genesis, reading verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Let's pray. Lord, with this verse, with this question, we now enter into a brief period of study of your word, of thinking of what this could mean for us today. And in order for that to happen, Lord, your spirit must guide us, must be our teacher, for without him we cannot comprehend or retain, nor can we experience the necessary change, Lord, that your word exhorts us to experience. And we thank you that you're here, and that you are our guide and our teacher. May we hear your voice, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please leave your Bible open there, and you can refer to it from time to time. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's because I've gotten used to it in recent years, because it's something that's been around for a number of years. But when we first moved back to the mainland from Japan in 2002, and even before that, whenever we would visit as a family or when I would come on church-related business, I could not go to a store like Kmart or Walmart or any of those places without noticing a bulletin board full of photographs of faces of people I didn't know, most of them children and a lot of them young ladies, some, a few not quite that young, and even a few young men on there. We also noticed that for quite a while, on shopping bags, there were faces. I don't know if they did that here in Hawaii or not, but in California they did. You'd buy a bag of groceries and there'd be a couple and two, three, four faces on there with, "Have you seen this person? So-and-so has been missing since whatever," the missing list. And then on the side of milk cartons, even though I haven't been a milk drinker for years, you couldn't miss it. At the store, there's somebody's face on there. Cereal boxes. You know, I thought, oh, that's, wow, this must really be a serious problem to have to get the word out there. Why did they do that? What were some of the reasons for doing that? And I think perhaps the biggest reason is public awareness and more than one pair of eyes. If you get two pairs, 200 pairs, 2,000 pairs, 2 million pairs of eyes. Somebody out there will recognize that person, and maybe they can be found. And we know that many stories, people have been tracked down and found. And then there have been tragic ones when they found just remains. The police have or had what they called a BOLO, BOLO list. Be on the lookout, BOLO. Posted. So that anyone who would recognize the missing person could report it, and that person could be restored. And now, I mention all of that. Is there a spiritual parallel there? I think there is. We don't post photos of missing church members around the church, do we? At the end of the, or maybe the beginning of the potluck table. Before you pick up your fork and your napkin and your dish, you know, there's a, "Have you seen this person?" Maybe that's not a bad idea, I don't know. But you know what, if we did that, after a while people would stop noticing those pictures and maybe mistake them for a napkin or something. So we don't do that. Neither do we post missing names in the bulletin. That could create all kinds of other problems. You know, "Hey, did you know something? Your name was in the bulletin as missing." "What?" And, you know, without knowing what we're doing. missing members tend to fade out and sometimes just disappear. And sometimes it's a while, a few weeks or months before, you know, we haven't seen so-and-so for a while. Do you know, where are they? You're right, we haven't seen them for, hey, what's going on here? And sometimes they disappear and are all but forgotten, especially if they are not one who was very active and upfront and so forth. As the saying goes, out of sight, what? Out of mind. That's a human thing, and that's the way it is. After all, most missing members are old enough to make their own decisions, right? Right? If they choose not to attend church, that's their problem. Or is it? We have quite a few names in our church directory here at this church, and any church you go to has a similar conundrum. They haven't fellowshipped here for many months, sometimes years, and we refer to them as inactive, missing, or sometimes even backslidden. That's a politically incorrect word, and people don't want to, you know, even if it's very crystal clear, that's why they're not here. I mean, they left the faith, gone, backslidden. That's an interesting word, don't you think, to slide backwards? Anyone ever climbed Mount Fuji? If you have, you raise your hand. I see somebody going like this. That means you didn't make it to the top. Raise that hand up there. Okay. The interesting thing about Fuji, you may think I'm weird, but I prefer going up to coming down. And the reason is it's hard. You get breathless. The atmosphere is thin. But when you come down, because of that volcanic ash and lava and the little pebbles, you take one step and you slide about 3 or 4 feet. And if you build up any momentum, it is hard to stop. Not to mention, it's very hard on your knees, all the way down the hill. So you really, really have to pace yourself. It's very, very easy. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be physically fit or anything. All you have to do is take a step forward on the downhill slope, and it helps you get down faster. And the next step, and you, boy, this is a lot quicker than getting up. Well, I don't like it because, you know, all the rocks getting in your shoes and so forth. But backsliding, can you imagine you take one step forward and you slide 3 feet back? Not making any progress here. That's an interesting word. But these missing members, what happened to them? There may be one or two here today who, after months or years, have said, you know, I think I'll go to church today. And then the pastor is talking about missing members. I didn't know you were coming. I don't even know who you are. So if the shoe fits, I hope you will put it on. This is mostly talking to members who know that someone is missing and not necessarily to those who have been and haven't come. There are usually reasons connected with that. Nothing that we hold up for judgment or anything. But if you are a person who hasn't been around for a while and you're back today, welcome. We're glad you're here. We hope that you will come more often, if not here, somewhere. And if you were missing because of something someone did or said to you that hurt your feeling and it took a lot of courage to get your, you know, energy up to come here today, allow me on behalf of those people to say, I'm sorry that you were hurt, that somebody said or did something that hurt your feelings, that turned you off, that kept you from coming. And that's a whole dangerous ball of stuff right there. We don't have time to dissect. But have you ever looked at an empty pew or the empty pews in this church? Well, I don't belong to this church. I go to sit. Well, have you looked at the ones in your church? There's always empty ones, often right up front. That's very interesting, isn't it? If you put that pew in the concert hall or the theater, folk would be paying premium dollar to be on that pew. One pastor said years ago, if I ever designed my own church, it would have one pew. One pew, you'd think he would say up front, right? No, he said way in the back, because that's where the comfort zone. And people would come in and fill that pew, and then he'd flip a switch. The thing would come to the front. Another one flips up at the back for the next person. And what's going on here? I'm never coming back. So that wouldn't work either. Empty pews. What happened to these people? Members of God's family. Sometimes it's physical illness that prevents them from coming. They just can't come. Well, they can walk. What's the problem? Sitting for more than 5 minutes. Sciatica, whatever it happens to be. There's all kinds of issues that happen when you get older. Have mercy. And then there are some who just decided not to come. They lost interest, got waylaid, got too busy. We talked about that in Sabbath school today as one of the reasons why God's people don't pray. And if we don't pray, how will we ever have revival, personal or corporate, as a body of believers? Have you ever imagined, back to that thought, every pew occupied? I'm not promoting the numbers thing. And, because when you get into that, you start getting desperate, and then you start doing some risky stuff, and then you start doing some all-out stupid stuff to fill those pews. You know, years ago, can you believe this? A couple hundred years ago, certain denominations in certain countries, they actually had a pew tax. People would actually pay to have their pew, and you couldn't sit there. That's Sister So-and-so. That's Brother So-and-so. So whenever they came to church, that's where they sat. That was there. They paid for it. Can you imagine? Maybe we should charge for it. That wouldn't work either. Never mind. But doing all kinds of things to fill the pew at all costs, you know, whatever it gives, we've got to fill those pews. Is really that what the Lord told us to do? He said, when hearts are filled with His presence, then we don't have to worry about the pews. Right? But if we put the cart before the horse and focus on the pews, that's when we start doing crazy and stupid stuff like many, many churches are doing nowadays. I'm not standing in judgment in them or their pastors. The word of the day is desperation, because the world is winding down, coming to an end, and yet we see empty pews, missing members. Be on the lookout. Now, in our scripture today, the Lord said to Cain, this is God talking to Cain, Cain's creator, the Lord of the universe, Almighty God who thinks, who speaks, and things come into existence. God who doesn't even have to twitch his eyebrow, and Cain could have been instantly, you know, what's the word, not evaporated, gone, right? No, God with his patience. And he knew exactly what had happened. You know the story, right? Cain had killed his brother, and the Lord said, Cain, where's your brother Abel? This is interesting. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's directive, given for them to be careful because I love you too much to see you go that route, but I have to make this available so you can choose, right? And they chose the wrong way. When the serpent came, Satan in the guise of using that pathetic animal, poor animal. He said, has not God said that this, you will not surely die? And then they made their choice. And when they heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, what did they do? They hid. And then God said, what? Yeah, where are you? And did he come in? Oh, where have they gone? God, there's something he doesn't know. He doesn't know where I am. Is that what that was all about? Nuh-uh. He knew exactly where they were, but he wanted them to understand. You know, where are you? I'm not talking about behind the bush. Where are you right now? Your choice. Where did it get you? And so he comes to Cain and says, where's Abel, your brother? He knew where he was. You know, God, you said you know everything. You're omniscient. You're all powerful. You're all, you know. Why are you asking me? You know. And in his flippancy, in essence, that was couched within there. He said, I don't know. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer to that question? Yes. But he threw it out there. Am I my brother's keeper? I mean, the God who makes a free choice and all that stuff. I mean, he does his own thing. I do my own thing. Go ask him. In so many words, how can you talk to God like that? Fast forward, 2013. There are people who are talking to and about God. Worse than that. Where's the respect? We can see here the beginning of the lack of respect for God in the person of Cain. Critical question. Life and death question. A question about responsibility and a question about love. Where is your brother? Cain knew where his brother was. He knew exactly where he had left him. dead in the field, the victim of the world's first murder. Cain had killed him with his own hands, and no matter how often he had washed his hands, Abel's blood was still on his fingers, still warm as it soaked into the ground, that same ground from which he had been created. That blood cried out to be avenged and was only the beginning of a flow of blood that would continue until the end of time. This is a bloody planet. Have you figured that out? This is a bloody planet. As we're sitting here with air conditioning and the sun shining outside, listening to God's word this morning, there are people being killed, being slaughtered, being blown up. A bloody planet. And not only that, God's people would be slaughtered from the time of Abel all the way through the close of time. Why? Simply because they were God's people and they do not fit in this bloody, rebellious planet. Don't even have to talk, just stand there and stop looking at me with that tone of voice, right? Standing for God, being his ambassador. How dare you be here, present, reminding me of my duty, of twitching, you know, pricking my conscience. Don't do that to me. Revelation 6:10. You want to read this? Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. Very interesting verse here that connects to this issue. Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, this is a vision in heaven. And verse 9, he opened the fifth seal, and under the altar in heaven, this symbolic dream, he sees the souls, these people who had been slain for the word of God. In other words, martyrs. What a fitting place under the altar. Then they cried with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long will this go on? How long will those go on and on and on?" And yeah, what's up with that anyway? You know, people who seem to do all kinds of dirt seem to go on forever, and the good ones always go first. What's wrong with that? That, you know, we're not on that topic today, but God is not willing that any should perish without being given a chance to come to repentance. So sometimes those who've been laid in the sleep of death, we miss them. We feel sorry for them. We say, "Why, Lord? This person was this and this person was that." And God in his judgment and in his perfect wisdom says, it was a good time for them to be laid to rest in faithfulness until my return. The question you should ask is, what about yourself? That's contained in there. You know, when we do funerals and memorial services, you know, is that for the dead person? They don't know what's going on. It's more for the living, that we can think, that we can ponder, that we can understand the brevity of life. But let's get back to us. Though some missing members leave the church by choice, some by living to satisfy the sinful nature, one choice leads to the next, and it's a downhill Mount Fuji type experience, they still are the purchase of Jesus' blood. Precious in his sight. But there are others who have left for other reasons. So the question remains, where is that missing brother and sister? And do we care where they are? Have some of them been hurt or killed by us? Is there blood on our hands? Did they leave because we spoke unkind words to them, judged them, condemned them, gave them the cold shoulder? Oh, that's something that, you know, never ceases to amaze me, is the epitome of adult childishness, giving someone a cold shoulder. I will ignore them today. I will pretend they don't even exist. Grow up! They do exist. And the cold shoulder, you better be careful before it goes from your shoulder to your heart. And then when you have a cold heart, what's left? Rigor mortis. And many have become stiff in their spiritual experience. And some of those who started out assassinating people in church don't longer come to church. And someone is thinking, good, who needs them anyway? If they come back, they're just going to make more trouble. Could be, but they're still souls for whom Christ has died. And every heartbeat, every breath beats grace, mercy, love, time is running out. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Why? Because He is good. He created you. He created me. He loves us too much to just say, go ahead, help yourself. He can't do that. That's not His nature. And I was teaching the lesson in the Japanese section there today, and we looked at a bunch of the Chinese characters as possible reasons why people don't pray, why they need revival. And then on the other hand, why is it that God loves us so much? What is it about His character? The Bible says God is what? Love. And you know, if you look at that Chinese character for love, right in the middle of that character, there's stuff up top and there's stuff underneath. Right in the middle is the character for heart. That's why He loves us. Because love is the heart, the center of His character. And that is the same love that He has shown to us, given to us, and asks us to demonstrate to one another with the heart. I mean, I'm the type of person, I'm very, very simple, uncomplicated. Pretty much what you see is what you get. And if you don't like what you're getting, let me know and we'll try to work on what you're seeing somehow. Does that make sense? Anyway. But if my heart ain't in it, then it's not true. It's not to live a sham, you know. Come to church, good morning, happy Sabbath. Boy, I wish I was somewhere else. Then don't say happy Sabbath and good morning, right? I'm not saying go around with a scowl on your face. If you don't mean it, then you need to pray. Lord, whatever I say by greeting, if my smile is on my face, I want it to be real from the heart, the center of love. And only You can put it there. Where are the missing people? Bolo, be on the lookout. Wherever they are, that's the one ingredient that they really need. Whether it is because they chose not to come because they were hurt, or whether it is they cannot come, though they really would love to be here, but some physical problem makes it impossible. We need to reach to them, not reach out. You reach out is kind of like from way over here. Hey, how you doing down there? Got my binoculars. Yeah, he's still there. Reaching out. What do we mean reaching out? It means be there next to them as a fellow human being who cares. Sometimes you don't even have to, you know, did I tell you the story before? I don't know if I did or not. Anyway, don't even know if it fits. But there was a pastor who came into a new congregation. And as he started to get to know who the members were and who was missing, he learned that there was one guy who's been missing for years, kind of an ornery cuss. And so he went to visit this guy, opened up the door and looked at him, and he said, I'm the new pastor. And he said, well, I thought I would come by and visit you. Can I come in? Yeah. So he invited him in, and he sat down on the sofa, and the pastor didn't say a word. The guy was getting a little nervous, you know. And he had a little fire going there in the fireplace. And the pastor got up and went over, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a nice story. He moved one of the embers off of the fire with the poker, right? And after a little while, that ember just kind of died down. The red disappeared. It turned black, and then the last puff of smoke was gone, and it was dead, right? Not burning anymore. Then he got up and he moved it back into the fire. And very quickly, the flame, the red came back and it was hot. And then the pastor said, well, I've got to be going here. So he got up and left. That was it. The guy expected, you know, you should help, all this stuff. And never spoke a word. The next opportunity, the very next weekend, that gentleman was in church. And he gave a note to the pastor and said, thank you for that fiery sermon. No pulpit pounding, you know, none of that stuff. But it spoke to his heart. It let him know, brother, you have chilled off. Rigor mortis has set in. You're dead. You need to be back in fellowship with others who believe to rekindle the flame. And so do all of those on the Bolo list. Because the longer they are away, the longer we wait, the colder they become, and the colder we become. Until the flame goes out, and we wonder, what are we doing here anyway? God forbid. I hope none of us ever reach that point. God asks us, where is your brother? You know, for Cain, God gave him a warning in verse 7 back there in Genesis. chapter 4, verse 7, it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin is right there waiting at the door. It can be the front door of your house. It can be the exit of the church, so that as soon as you go out through there and shake the pastor's hand if you so desire, I mean, the devil will just peel anything the Spirit put on your heart right off of your brain, right off of your mind. It'll be gone. And it's almost like you were never here. Right? Sin lies at your door. Its desire is for you. It's not going to get me. That's stupid. Those are the first people sin gets. If you think it's not going to get you, you've already been gotten. God is speaking. Sin lies at the door. The word is crouching, like a wild animal ready to pounce. Whoever comes out that door is dinner. You must master it. So what do I do? How can I master this sin if it's crouching at the door, Lord? Be aware that it's there. Don't put any trust in yourself, but put your trust in the Lord. And go to Ephesians sometime and read chapter 6 about the armor of the Lord. There is a sword there. Don't leave home without it. When that animal pounces, that sin pounces, you're there with your sword, the two-edged sword of the Word of God, to drive it right into the heart of that thing. Has God been trying to lay the name of someone on your heart? I hope so. And if he has, good. If he hasn't, have you ever prayed, Lord, put someone on my heart. Cause me to think about that person. In fact, cause me to even dream about that person. Give me no peace until there is a passion in my heart to touch that person's life, because they've been separated from the fellowship. They are that ember that used to be on fire, and they've gone cold, and there's still so much more there to be on fire for God. Don't shrug off the attempt or pass it on to somebody else. Don't be like Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, thinking you're getting rid of it. He incriminated himself. God could have said, yeah, exactly. Thank you for asking that question. But it wouldn't have made a difference, because Cain did not listen to what the Lord had said about being careful. Missing members are our closest mission field. They are our family members, friends, former friends, former enemies, who knows, future friends, whatever you want to call them. We must learn. It's not something that comes automatically, you know, as soon as you're baptized. You come up out of the water. I'm passionate and in love with the Lord and on fire for everybody. Most likely when you come up out of the water, you're going to say, I don't feel any different. I'm wet, but I don't feel any different. Well, it's not about feeling. It's about reality. And by faith, grasping that reality one at a time, moving forward, kind of like grabbing those ropes going up Mount Fuji to help assist yourself, one step at a time. Family members. Even though we may not have been the one who perhaps killed that person spiritually, even though they may have killed themselves, they are still missing brothers and sisters. Every Christian is a child of God. Every human being is a child of God. They just don't know it. And every Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're called by his name, Christ Christian. We are his servants. And a servant does the will of the master. Isn't that true? He or she? Who is our master? It's Jesus Christ. We have, or we should have, the mind of Christ that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ, he said. The mind of Christ has been given. It gives us his desires, his purpose in life and in this world. What was Christ's desire? What was his purpose then? Luke 19:10. I'm not going to tell you. We're going to read it. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. What was Christ's purpose? Why was he here? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Notice he doesn't say that which is lost. Was. Could it be that he's looking prophetically into the future, beyond the present condition of that loved person, into his desire for them? He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Because when the Lord gets his hand on your life, and you are now a part of his salvation, you're no longer lost. It's a was. And then our testimony becomes, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Each of us has something we need to ask the Lord. Who is that missing person? We may know someone. We may have had the Spirit tell us, you know, you need to give them a call. You need to send them a card. You need to get in your car and go over there. I can't drive. You know, take the bus. Well, I don't read that. I don't have to. There's always a way to somehow touch a person's life. Maybe just a phone call to tell them, hey, been thinking about you today. Haven't seen you for a while. Just want to let you know you're thought of and prayed for. That's it. Don't have to, why aren't you coming anymore? In fact, that's often not a good thing to ask. Let it come from them. It's our responsibility, not that of someone else. Well, the elders will take care of that, and the deacons and deaconesses and visitation people and the prayer ministry and all those other people. It's the pastor's job. I mean, that's what he's paid to do, isn't it? Yes and no. Yes and no. Because often those individuals known much better by the church members, you can have a much more powerful effect and impact than any pastor ever could. And really, when you think about it, pastors come and go, don't they? They come and go. But often the members, yeah, they come and go too, but a lot of members, they're here. Some of you are lifers here. I remember when we were building this thing. I was a kid at AMA. You've been here forever. And you know a lot of those forever people who are still somewhere on this island or another island. Maybe we can't do a whole lot about that except a phone call. But if they're here and they're on the missing list, wandering around, they should be here fellowshipping with the Lord today, but they're somewhere else. If another church, that's great. But if not, that's a tragedy. And they're on God's B-O-L-O, BOLO list. Let's ask the Lord to soften our hearts and inspire us to put more effort into seeking our missing brothers and sisters and to bring as many of these precious people as we can back to the fold. We can pray. We can try. We can leave the results with God. Two final quotes. Hunt up backsliders, those who once knew what religion was, and give them the message of mercy. That's pretty brief. It's right to the point. Look them up. Look them up. We have means of finding people today that's scary. You ever typed your own name into Google? Self-denying efforts will be put forth to save the lost. That's the only way it's going to happen. Self-denying efforts. And many who have strayed from the fold will come back to follow the great shepherd. The people of God will draw together and present to the enemy a united front. You're not coming in here. You're not welcome in here, devil. This is the family and the house and the body of Jesus Christ. A united front. Anyone here this morning who has wandered and come back, or is in the process of coming back, or knows somebody else who's coming back? And if you've wandered and come back, you know what it's like out there. It's a lonely, cold place. Lonely, cold place. Nothing like being back at the feet of Jesus, in his family, with hope for today and for tomorrow, because he's coming soon. So let's be on the lookout and sing our hymn today as perhaps a self-dedication to what we considered this morning. Let's stand together, number 373. Everyone on this planet, Lord, was on your BOLO list, and you were on the lookout to the extent that it took you going really afar, leaving heaven and coming to this earth entering this earth, Lord, not in splendor and glory, but as a lowly babe in a manger, unknown to those living at that time and to many even living now, that your purpose for coming was to seek and save that which was lost. Lord, I pray that every one of us here, if we haven't been, that we will be on the past tensed list, was lost, and that you would place in our heart to reach out, even as you did, as your ambassadors, to those who are missing, to those who are backslidden, to those who are ill and unable, to those, Lord, who, for whatever the reason may be, have drifted from your side. Hold on to us, Lord. We're prone to wander. We feel it. We sense it. Prone to leave the Lord we love. But we thank you that your love is deep and true, and it is a magnet that attracts us to your heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.